Quiet, please. Quiet, please. Mutual Broadcasting System presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please for tonight is called The Room Where the Ghosts Live.
No. No, I won't let you take me out of the house. No, I'm going to stay right here. I'm sorry, Doctor.
But, Lawrence, we've got to get you to a hospital. Now stop being a fool.
I won't. I'm going to die anyway, and I don't want to die in an ambulance somewhere out on an icy road between here and town. I'm sorry, that's final.
I can't do anything for you here, Lawrence.
Maybe I don't want you to do anything for me, Doctor.
I'm going to call the ambulance.
How?
By telephone, of course.
The telephone isn't working.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
That's funny, isn't it?
What?
What a couple of days of snow can do. No lights, no heat, no water. Just like the days when they lived here.
When who lived here?
The ghosts.
Open your mouth.
What for?
Thermometer.
I'm not raving, Doctor.
Well, let's see anyway. Feel anything?
Sure.
Worse than it was?
A little
morphia won't hurt. It's a good thing I decided to stop in for a cup of coffee. You might have died here all by yourself.
I'm going to die anyway.
Not if I can help it.
Can't help.
No, stop that nonsense. May I have your ball? All right, now. That'll relieve the pain in a minute or two. I could take you to the hospital in my car.
No.
And I think I will.
No.
Lawrence, what got into you? What do you want to die for?
Great tomorrow.
No, not yet. There's nothing wrong with you. You've been the happiest. You've got everything to live for.
No.
Then you go and shoot yourself.
Yep.
Where did you get this pistol, anyway?
Gift.
Didn't you know it was loaded?
Sure.
That powder and ball have probably been in there for 50 years.
Longer than that.
What?
Longer than that.
Well, there's no telling what kind of infection you can get from that bullet.
No. Don't die at all.
Let's see that thermometer.
High temperature, huh?
Yeah, it's just really high. I guess you're not going to the hospital after all, though.
I told you that, Doctor.
I couldn't move you with that higher temperature.
That's fine. But I told you I wasn't going to be moved anyway. So you see...
Who gave you this pistol?
A British colonel.
What British colonel?
His name's on the lock plate.
Lieutenant Colonel Robert Charles Graves, 17th Regiment of Foot, 1774. Ancestor of the fellow that gave it to you?
No. He gave it to me himself. Yesterday.
Lawrence, how could he?
He's one of the ghosts.
I see.
No, you don't. I'm not delirious, Doctor. He really is.
No. Just relax, Lawrence.
Of course. I'm going to die anyway. Isn't that so?
I'm afraid.
Good.
Lawrence.
What?
Why did you do it?
Well, I'm not sure whether I did it on purpose or not. I wanted to, but maybe it was an accident. Or maybe...
Or maybe what?
Maybe one of the ghosts. No, I don't think so. yes, it was an accident. I'm glad, though.
But why?
Well, on account of Melanie.
Melanie? Melanie who? Who's Melanie?
Melanie is a girl who lived here 170 years ago.
What?
And who still lives here. It hurts quite a bit, Doctor.
You want me to give you some more morphine?
I guess not. No. I want to tell you things.
Well...
You won't believe me, of course. You think my mind's wandering. Don't you?
Well, I... What difference does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Nothing makes any difference now. A fellow takes a long time dying, doesn't he? After a while, we had the time, huh? Pretty soon, I'll be a ghost to see Melanie. I'd like a little drink of brandy.
Oh, just a second. Here, now take it easy.
Thanks. Good brandy. Wish I could take some along. It's good.
I wish I could do something for you, Lawrence.
Nothing snowed in, aren't we? Sure. I mustn't leave. I couldn't come back, you know. I have to stay here.
I don't understand that.
I have to stay here, I said. My house. What was I talking about?
The ghosts.
Oh, yes. So I tried to keep the house like it was in the old days, see? All by myself. Been fun. And then noises. Heard noises.
What kind of noises?
People beating on door, rattling the latch. Every night. I'm not afraid, Doctor.
I know, Lawrence.
Well, I got up, went all over the house. Noises stopped after a while.
It wasn't a dream?
No dream. Beating on a door someplace. Always sounded like it came from right over there. You see?
Well, there isn't any door there, Lawrence.
That's what I thought. My hands are cold.
I'll build up the fire.
No. I know what it is. I haven't got much time, huh? Have I?
No, Lawrence, you haven't got much time, old man.
I have to hurry. Shut your eyes so you can see what I saw. I mean, I didn't see it, see, because it was dark. So, when you shut your eyes, you feel the way I felt.
Huh? All right, Lawrence.
I walked all over the house, lights on. No sound, no hammering on door. No door. I turn off the lights, it starts again. From right over there. I turn on the lights. No door. No noise. Then I get an idea. I turn off the lights again. I walk over where the sound comes from. And there is a door. And I think I hear a woman crying. And footsteps and furniture being shoved around. I said I wasn't scared, didn't I? Well, I was then. You'd be scared, too. Finding a door where there isn't any door and there's somebody on the other side.
But that's the outside wall of the house, Lawrence.
No.
What?
There's a room there. The room where the ghosts lived. You see?
No, I don't.
I didn't know it, too. You got your eyes shut?
Yes.
If you could hear the noise like I heard it, frantic pounding. People pushing their shoulders against the locked door. And I could smell smoke. You see, I didn't know about the ghosts then.
Well, how do you know now?
I'm trying to tell you.
I'm sorry.
Keep your eyes shut. I want you to feel the way I felt. And believe. I reached for the lights again. I turned them on. Nothing happens, just nothing. Except pounding on the door. Slower now. And the woman crying. And I hear her scream. Oh, screw, she said. It's French. She means help, help. And I heard her voice again. Frightened.
Ouvre
la porte, she said. That's French, too. Means open the door. So I tried to open it, and it was locked. And they were pounding. She was coughing. And at last I found the key. And I yanked the door open. And the ghosts came out. The lights came back on. There wasn't any door. There wasn't anybody in the room but me. But then I heard something. Somebody walking across the floor down the hall. So I turned and went down the hall after the footsteps. Down toward my room. Then I stopped dead. Because the door to my room closed and somebody locked it.
You dreamed that?
No. It was locked from the inside. So was every other door in the house.
That couldn't be.
Try the doors. Open your eyes and try the doors. Go ahead.
Lawrence, I...
No, no, go ahead. I'll keep on talking. You have to believe me. Go ahead. I lay down here on the Davenport with the lights on. I tried to think, but nothing made any sense. I got up and I tried the outside door. It was unlocked. So I went outside. I had some crazy idea. Maybe there was a room there. There wasn't, of course. But there were footprints in the snow. Some men's footprints. And a girl's. This last nose covered them all up again, I guess. Well, what about the doors, Doctor?
They're locked. From the inside.
You see? Did you hear anything? Did you?
Well, I thought I heard someone moving. I thought I'd awakened somebody. But it was probably my imagination.
No, it wasn't. No, Randy. No. So I came back in, and I sat down. And I hardly noticed that the lights were off again, and then I heard something else. And I said, "Who's that?" And a woman's voice answered me in the dark.
"I'm Melanie."
"Well, who's Melanie?"
"I was a maid in this house in the time of the war, when the soldiers were captured on Christmas night at Trenton. And these escaped and came here to be hidden by Monsieur Maurice. For he was no patriot, and they were kept...
And you'd think I'd be surprised, but I wasn't very... I didn't interrupt her. She went right on telling me how Maurice was a loyalist, and how he hid the officers, and how the neighbors suspected him and spied on him.
Then Mr. Maurice must go away, you see. And I was left alone to bring food to the poor soldiers. And there was a night when I took their food to them. And when I would go from the room, I found the door to be locked from the other side. But soon we smelled the smoke of the fire, where someone had set fire to the house to destroy these men. And we beat upon the door, but it did not avail us. And so we perished in the fire. I and the British officers. And there was none to know our fate. And for our sins, we are bound forever to this house. Although I have not sinned so very greatly. And I would thank you for releasing us from that room. For so many times we have cried out, yet no one would open the door.
And I opened the door, but now all my doors are locked against me.
Yes. They say it is their house now. And no man can open the doors again.
I think we'll see about that.
They say you must go away.
Well, I'm not going away.
I should be sorry when you go away.
You would?
You have released us. I am grateful.
Thanks. I think they'd be grateful, too.
They are soldiers, monsieur, and they have not forgotten the manner of their death. This is their revenge, that no man shall live in this house.
Well, that's fine. I'm to be chased out of my house by a bunch of ghosts.
It is so, monsieur.
How do you feel about it?
I could wish you could always be here, monsieur.
So?
Yes, monsieur. But it cannot be. Unless.
Unless what?
It cannot be.
If I turned on the lights, could I see you?
No, monsieur. The eyes of the living cannot see us.
What did you look like?
I did have blue eyes, monsieur. And my hair was black. And I was not very tall. And my feet were very small.
And your clothes?
Once I had a gown of taffety. And it was blue, like my eyes, I remember. And there was a cap of lace for my grandmother in Brittany.
And I was struck with a sudden impulse to see this girl with the black hair and the taffety dress that matched her eyes. And I jumped up and snapped the lights on. And the room was empty. And so I knew I'd been dreaming.
Oh, cool.
But I wasn't dreaming, my friend. She came to me the next night. And the next. Oh, it's so cold. Am I dying now? Is this what it feels like?
Here, take a little sip of this.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Better?
How much longer? Well, see, friend, I found myself in love with a ghost. And she loves me, Doctor. And we talked about it so much. There must be a way out. But there couldn't be a way out. And the others kept telling her I must go on, and I asked you to go to them. I'm sorry. Go to them and beg them to let me stay. It was the only way. But she told me they said no. They made a pact between themselves, and they'd not alter it. And the time was getting short. They were sorry, they said, but. And then, last night, she came to me again. When the snow was piling deeper and deeper around the windows, and I said, Melanie, I can't go now. Can't they see that? And she said,
I have spoken again with the colonel.
And what did he say?
He will come to you, he said.
And what?
He will not speak to the living.
But what good?
I do not know. He said he will come to you.
When?
Tonight. Do not speak. Say, Monsieur le Colonel. I have the honor to present Monsieur the Lieutenant Colonel Robert Charles Graves. Majesty's 17th Regiment of Foot. Monsieur, the colonel, wishes me to present his compliments to you and to say to you that he has taken counsel with his fellow officers. No, do not speak. Monsieur le colonel wishes me also to say that he and his fellow officers have come to a decision in the matter of yourself. They honor you for your devotion to me, and they beg leave to supply you with the means of assuring you permanent residence in this house. Monsieur, the colonel begs you to accept as a token of his esteem
Your black flint. Personal gift from Robert Charles Grave, 17th Foot. Well, I thought a long time. Turned off the lights. Called her. No answer. Talked to her. Told her I loved her. Wasn't brave enough to. Said I loved her. Couldn't do it. Tried. I didn't. Long toward morning, heard footsteps again. Boots, sword, spurs clicking. Knew who it was. Said, "Hello, Colonel." Said, "Colonel, thanks, only haven't got courage enough." "Oh, his lover, Colonel," I said. Said, "Here's your pistol. I'm a coward. Drink, please." And then I wake up here. Daylight. See? If Colonel Graves could enough fella show me way out, couldn't that fella pull trigger for me? Hello. Well, I'm making your blue taffety dress and your blue eyes and your black.
You have listened to Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper. Lawrence, the man who spoke to you, was Ernest Chappell. And Melanie was Claudia Morgan. The Doctor was played by James Van Dyke. Our sound effects by Albert April. Music for Quiet, Please, except for our theme, which is from the Allegretto movement of the César Franck Symphony in D minor, is composed and played by Albert Berman. Now for a word about next week's Quiet, Please, here is our writer-director, Willis Cooper.
Baker's Dozen is the title of next week's story, the story of one man, two men.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.